that good? Well, welcome everyone, and even those who are not here. And how many of you have heard of Advent before? Advent, you know? And so we have a bunch of candles here, and we're going to light one today at the end of this, my message. Cheryl's going to come and light a candle and read some scriptures, and then worship team is going to come at the same time and sing a song. And I'm just going to talk about a familiar story this morning, and it's the wonderfully familiar Christmas story. And for preachers, this time of year is sometimes, in the past for me, it's been hard because I just assume that everyone knows this, and then I'm just repeating what everybody knows. But Holy Spirit showed me that not everyone knows this. And for each of us, the Christ child needs to be rebirthed in all of us so that he is number one. Because the number one question that you could ever know in your heart is not all the do's and the don'ts and everything, but who is Jesus? Okay? So instead of ever getting into a discussion about what's this or what's that, just remember something. Who is Jesus? Okay, because that's the number one question. So the wonderfully familiar story of Christmas that took place 2,000 years ago, but for it was in the making for many, many centuries in the making. And speaking through the ancient prophets, God foretold how he would bring his beloved son into the world. And the more you walk with the Lord, the more you understand this, and the more you begin to see Christ almost on every page and every verse in the Bible. And it's amazing. I listened to Linda's messages the last number of weeks, and she's pretty funny, you know, because like last Sunday, you guys like were laughing your heads off. You thought it was a party going on in this house, and she did a good job, didn't she? And I'm really proud of her. She won't be here on Mother's Day this year, next year, because she's been asked to preach at the church where we started ministry in Guelph. It's a big church, and they've asked her to come back to speak to the women. And so are you okay to share her that day? It's just the way it is. It's a special season. If she was here, I wouldn't talk like this because I don't want to embarrass her, but she's walking through a very special season with a very special touch of the Lord on her life. And I would ask, as one of our pastors in the congregation, to really cover her in prayer, because the Lord's going to use her in a very, very special way. It was prophesied over her years ago that this would take place, and it's starting to take place now. And it's not because it's Linda, it's any of you, okay? Any one of you in this house, if you are starting to walk into it, I'm going to be your biggest cheerleader. And hopefully we will be tender enough to recognize that in each other. Amen? So back on track. Listening to Linda all these weeks, I'm going on rabbit trails right at the beginning. So the birth of Jesus took place in a historical setting that the prophets foretold many thousands of years ago. And the underlying story of his genealogy in itself is a divine masterpiece of intrigue, suspense, and prophetic fulfillment. It's all about prophetic fulfillment. But the events of that first Christmas morning so long ago have become so commonplace, right? So commonplace in our modern traditions. Wise men and shepherds are familiar Christmas symbols as they gather around the tender baby that lies in the manger, while the chorus of angels proclaim to all mankind. But how this morning did the prophets envision this story? How did they see it? Different than how we see it or envision it. And what hopes had formed in the men of in the hearts of men and women, and what was the hope that they had, that they looked forward to. And so let the story unfold afresh between the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament writers. And the Christmas story really starts with a tree. Don't throw eggs at me, okay? But not a Christmas tree, but a family tree. A family tree. And it's interesting to note that both in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, they start with a genealogy. One is the genealogy of Mary, and the other is the genealogy of Joseph. And both of these were descendants of David. Are you getting this? This is really important because, you know what? Come Christmas Day, I like it all too. But you know what? To have that in your heart, to get it, is amazing. So this is the advent of hope today. Now, this is something that that I think may have come from where? Anglican traditions? Would anyone know that? Anglican traditions or Catholic traditions or anyone know that? And the fact that Christmas starts with a genealogy shows us that it's a real story that happened at a real place in time. Amen? Amen? And in the fullness of time, God sent Gabriel to Zacharias, a humble Levite priest who ministered before God in the temple, envisioning in a vision the angel foretold the birth of John the Baptist, who would prepare the way for the Messiah, and with his own coming, he was the forerunner of the Messiah that was to be announced. Amen? And Luke 1:7, it says, "And he will go before the Lord in the spirit of power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make a people prepared for the Lord." Now, this statement echoed prophecy from 460 years earlier to this in Malachi verses 4 and 5, where it says, "See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord." Also, in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3, it says, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight the desert, a highway of our God." So for many centuries, folks, for many, many centuries, the promise of this Messiah, of this Jesus that we talk about this morning, that we sing about, that we pray to, that we ask in the service, we'd say, "Lord, cover us. Let us do everything to an audience of one. May your name be exalted in this house." All of these things are not just a New Testament thing that, or it's something that happened in this church that we do. All of these things took place many centuries before, and the promise of the Messiah had tarried. What does the word tarried mean? It tarried. It wasn't happening. They must have been wondering. The prophets must have been wondering. They must have been reading the scripture, and they would have said, "When, Lord? When, Lord? When, Lord?" Just like we look at the times before us, and we say, "Lord, when are you coming back? It's been prophesied that you will come back. When, Lord? When, Lord?" And they were looking at that day, and the opening steps had begun. The opening steps had begun, and the Messiah was coming at last. And all the earth and everything about it was getting excited, and the world would be changed forever. And since the birth of Christ, this world has been changed forever. Okay? Yes, there's bad things that happen in the world, but the birth of Christ changed everything forever and ever. And prophecies long ago that were lying dormant were springing up to life before their very eyes. Isn't that amazing? This is the real Christmas story, folks. This is the story that if I had young children, I would be trying in the simple ways through pictures or through whatever to be telling my children. In the sixth month, you know, in the sixth month, an angel was sent again, and this time to a young virgin named Mary. So you have maybe some of you who are sitting here, and many people in the world, they would say, "Yeah, right. That's just a really nice story. An angel was sent. I don't know if I really believe that. You know what? It doesn't really matter whether you believe it or not. The most important question is, who is Jesus? Okay, so let's not get caught up on all of that. But I believe that an angel appeared to Mary, to the Virgin Mary, who is espoused. Does anyone know what the word espoused means? That's what the scripture says, espoused. Anyone? Shout it out. Engaged, okay. And he was espoused to David of the house of David. Okay, was espoused to Joseph of the house of David. And in greeting her, he spoke the favor of that she had found with God. And in Luke 1:22, I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time breathing a little bit. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Right? An espousal was really a stronger version than the modern word that we use for engagement today. And though it was actually less than actual marriage, but because of this espousal, because of this, Joseph had not known Mary intimately. They had not had sexual intercourse like many people do today. He was espoused to her. And in Mary's genealogy, the seed of David had been preserved. And through Joseph, the claim to David's kingdom, which had fallen long ago, was being preserved again. This is a good teaching. Okay, so it's all coming together. It's the reason why we do what we do today. And the child that she would bear, the two parts of God's ancient covenant, would come together at last in one person, that person being the Christ child, Jesus Christ. Psalm 89, 3 and 4, it says, "I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations." Folks, how many of you read genealogies, and how many of you have ever read in the book of Matthew or the book of Luke those genealogies and quickly just gone over to the first miracle or whatever, you know, and you don't really think about it. But it is there for a reason. I'm not saying, you know what, I'm not going to go home and try to figure it all out and try to match all everything, but it is there for a reason. It is there for a reason. And the angel told how the child would inherit the throne of David, his earthly forefather. In Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33, it says, "He will be great, and he will be called the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And we all know the scripture. Well, maybe you don't know the scripture. I shouldn't say that. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, it says, "For unto us a child is born, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." How many know that verse? Okay. And so Mary, in all of this, was confused. I get confused sometimes when I read scripture, don't you? I'm not going to stand here and say I get everything. And so Mary, she's confused by this proclamation. And she could, and the angel could speak of her giving birth when she was still a virgin. Okay, so how is this possible this morning? How many of you have ever thought, yeah, right? How many of you come from a background where it'd be like, you know people right now that if you told them this story, they'd go, yeah, right. Okay? It doesn't matter. What matters is who is Jesus. Right? It doesn't matter. Jesus was a real person. This is the story. So to deny this, we deny that Jesus is a real person. All that matters is who is Jesus. Okay? So for you here this morning, it doesn't really matter anything that you think, all the conversations that you have with everyone and all these silly debates that people have and people who ask me loaded questions because they want my response to something that nobody has an answer to anyways. It doesn't matter. The most important thing is, who is Jesus? So who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? Okay, who is Jesus? Who is this Jesus That's what's more important than anything else. And so Mary here, she was confused by this proclamation. And she asked, so the angel foretold the birth to her. And in Luke chapter 1, verses 35, the Lord, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Anyone want to sign up for that one? Eh? Amen. And so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. So the angel, in effect, is saying this. Is saying, you are the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. So all the prophecy that I've kind of given you in the verses that I read, and I'm trying to make this as exciting as possible, because that's what we do and everything like this. But all I got to tell you is this. In essence, the angel was saying, Mary, you are the fulfillment of everything that all of you people read in the Bible. Mary is the fulfillment of this. Imagine being told that you would be the one to fulfill the words of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a child, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Imagine. So it's told. It was foretold. The angel has approached her and told her that she would be the fulfillment of all prophecy. And for 3 months, Mary stayed with her cousin Elizabeth, to whom John the Baptist would be born. And when she returned to Joseph in Nazareth, her pregnancy was now beginning to show. And Joseph, not understanding what was taking place, naturally suspected the worst and considered ending the engagement with her. But he ended up not doing that. And while he thought on these things, an angel came to him as well and said, he said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because she is conceived. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Again, an angel. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel had commanded him, and he took Mary home. But he did not consummate the marriage until she gave birth to the son, and gave him the name Jesus, and gave him the name Jesus. Now I'm going to tell you something that many of you probably don't know, that many of you don't know. In those days, okay, there were a lot of boys named Jesus. It was a popular name that meant Jehovah saves, or Joshua, or Yeshua. And there were many variations of the name, but this isn't just any Jesus we're talking about. Amen. This is not any Jesus that we're talking about. This is Jesus that would save people from their sins. Okay? If you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, he has saved you from your sins, Shayla. That is incredible. Okay? He has saved you from your sins. Now, you know what? There's a whole bunch of people. Maybe there's some people here today. It doesn't impact you the way it's impacting me. But for those of us who know, and this is in our spirit, we know that we have been saved from our sins. And that is everything. And that is the launching pad of the gifts of the Spirit to be able to flow through our lives. So tonight is the advent of hope. So it's not only that we would be hopeful in the birth of Christ, but our life, your life, this morning would demonstrate hope to somebody because of that intimate thing, relationship with Jesus Christ. So as I prayed earlier, that all the cares and all the stresses and all of these things man, they would lift off of you. Don't make another Christmas about you and about what you have to do and what your bucket list is. All those things have to get done. Make it about him. Make it about his hope, the hope that we have in him flowing through you. Amen? And back in those days, like I said, there were a lot of boys named Jesus, but not like this Jesus. So the angel, I'm going to ask the worship team to come, Nat, this time. And Cheryl, you're going to get prepared. I'll just call you in a minute. The angel was effectively saying this, Joseph, listen. Not only is your betrothed wife carrying the Son of God, but she is carrying the Messiah of Israel. She is fulfilling prophecy. And we know the rest of the story, and we'll learn it. And he was obedient to that. He was obedient to that. So fast forward now, and Mary is 9 months pregnant. And when a woman is 9 months pregnant, she doesn't have to go anywhere. But she and Joseph had to move. And this is where the very familiar Christmas story begins.
The branch from Jesse. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness, he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den. And the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 7:10-14. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Matthew 1:18-24. Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Thank you. Let's stand together, closing song this morning.